Good morning. And I believe we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. Probably start out in chapter 4. I believe today I want to kind of tie together what I've been talking about the last few weeks. And actually, even longer than that, we've been talking about some of these things. But something the Lord put on my heart some time ago, and I've been talking along these lines of the power of the human spirit and understanding that power. And we talked a little bit about our famous scripture from Romans 8, and we talked about that power of the born-again spirit. And really, it was that power that raised Christ from the dead, or it was that power that gave life to that, to his body that was in the grave. And it's that same life in us, that born again spirit, that life gives life to our human body, our mortal body. And then I started talking some about authority, and we got into that a little bit. Understanding that we have authority on the earth, and I gave the example of a police officer. A police officer has been authorized by the city to uphold the law. And really, that police officer in his own strength has no power to stop you from doing something or to stand in front of a vehicle and tell you to stop. There's no power within him to stop that vehicle. There's nothing really physically that's going to keep you from running him over. But because of the authority that he stands in, we recognize that and we stop. The Bible says that we have power over all the powers of the enemy. And really, it's translated two different words there. It's, we have authority over the power of the enemy. But we also have power. When the Holy Spirit was come upon them, you'll receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. So you also have power. And that police officer, he's been authorized by the city, but he's also been given some power. And he carries around on his hip. And if you refuse the authority that he stands in, he's authorized to use that power to stop you from doing what you're doing. So we have this power within us. When we were born again, our spirit went from death to life, and that life was given to us by Jesus Christ. We kind of received it. He kind of received it in reverse, in that he was born in this earth with that power. He was born with God nature within him, lived out his life here as our example, without sin. And then he had to become sin in order to die under the penalty of it. A man who knew no sin became sin for us, that we through his death, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you and I, we had to live out our lives in spiritual death. We're born into a dead nature. And then when we were born again, we were brought back to life. So just like we celebrated Easter when Jesus was raised from the dead, we celebrate his resurrection. But honestly, I like to celebrate my resurrection. Because that day, even though I wasn't physically there, somehow, through the miraculous power of God, on that day when Jesus was resurrected, I was resurrected. I was given new life. And my spirit became life. Because of righteousness. Hallelujah. That life is now in us. That power is now in us. And then along with that, we got this authority that we can walk in on the earth. And then last week I started talking about trusting in the Lord. And see, as a new nature with the power of God within us, with the authority that he's given us, We have an opportunity to trust in Him, follow after Him, and allow Him to perform His work through us. That's really our goal. A lot of people will talk about, you know, I want to be more like Jesus. And yes, we do want to be more like Jesus, but what did Jesus do? He allowed God to flow through Him. So the works that He did only what He saw the Father do. So yes, I want to be more like Him. I want to let the Holy Ghost flow through me. I want God to be able to perform His works through me. That's really the goal. That's really where we're headed. And as we understand these things, we're able to walk closer to that, and I believe that we're maturing into that, and I believe we're going to see the manifestations of that. Alan's been doing a really good job of tackling the spirit, soul, and body thing, and I'm going to let him do that because that's a teaching I've heard my whole life, and so it's pretty awesome to watch it be transformed. That's why I would call it a reformation of this teaching to where we can understand it and walk in it in a new light and with a greater, better perspective. But I believe all of these things that we're learning and all that we're teaching, God's culminating this into a maturity level where we can walk in it. It's one thing to teach it. It's good to get the information and all of those things. But then we have to take that unto ourselves, and we've got to walk in it and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work, or else it's all really in vain. Right? What's the point? We don't get knowledge so that we can know more. We're receiving these things so that we can have understanding and walk in the understanding of the Word of God, that it could put a light to our paths and be able to walk in the fullness of what God has for us. So I don't know how we're going to title this message today, but I'm going to do my best just to share what I believe God is saying. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you've not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So one of the things that's going to be very important as we do our best to walk in the things of God, and we do our best to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way through us, is we're going to have a renewed mind. We're going to have to think differently than we've thought before. One of the first things that we learn in the New Testament is that we learn that we're going to have to repent. And repent really means change. It simply means no longer doing things the way you were doing them, realizing that that is not the correct way, and turning to follow after another. That's really what repentance is. It's not just saying, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that," but it's truly changing direction and finding another path. And here, I believe that in our minds, sometimes there we have been taught many things in the church. Some of them have been good things, but there's been a lot of inaccuracies in our thinking. Sometimes it's not the teacher's fault. Sometimes it's not that the information was wrong. It was the way that we received it. And oftentimes that can build up a stronghold in our life, a system of thought that's empowered by an emotion. And we have to be willing to allow those things to be brought down and have a new system of thought erected in its place. Now, this renewal, though, this says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So this is not just talking about your natural carnal understanding. It's talking about your spiritual thoughts, your spiritual mind, the mind of your spirit. As we've been learning, I have an outer body and I have an inner body. I have a natural man and I have a spiritual man. Well, who's being renewed? It says, be renewed. Now, I learned in English class that if there's not a subject there, the subject is you. It's an implied subject in the sentence, right? So you are being renewed, but who's you? I said I wasn't going to go here, but a little bit, we'll talk about it a little bit, right? You, we've heard often that you are a spirit, but really you're more than that. When God created Adam, He created him a living being. He created him, the King James says, a living soul, but really He's just talking about his whole being. And here's the thing, what God wants to renew is He wants to renew you. He wants to renew the way you think. He wants you to be renewed in how you act and how you react and in the ways that you live your life. All of the processes that you've gone through in your life, many of them have come to you through your natural thinking. You've been brought up in a natural world. And so obviously we have to think about the things around us. But before you're born again, there's no real life that you can be renewed to. So all of the things that you've learned up to that point came from an unrenewed or a unregenerated or really a death nature. It didn't necessarily come from that, but that's all that was within you. And now you've been born again. And we're finding out that the things of God are not the same as the things of this world. That the way that God does things is not necessarily the way that our government does things. Or the way that our parents do things. Or the way that the world around us does things. So we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We got to be renewed from that place of life. So that life flows through our thoughts and our thinking and our understanding and our processes and how we look at things. Instead of the old nature and the old way. And the problem with carrying around this outer body is that sometimes it tries to get in the way. And when you tell it that this is how things are and you try to explain how God does things, your natural mind says, well, that can't be. We've never done it that way before. You know? And so there's this war that's going on. But here, it says that we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So be holy as He is holy. It wasn't something, this isn't a suggestion or a novel idea. This is truth that we can walk in. It's said in a way of a command, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God never asks us to do anything that we are unable or that He doesn't empower us to be able to do. So this isn't something it's certainly not something that's impossible. And I've often heard people say things like this. Well, I know I shouldn't act that way, but that's just who I am. Yeah, I shouldn't have reacted in such a way, but when somebody does that to me, that's how I react. Well, that's an excuse. See, that might be how you have reacted. But if it doesn't line up with the new nature and what God has put in you, then we have to be renewed and be willing to repent and say, I'm not going to act that way any longer. And when we do that, then we recognize it. And it begins the process of change. So you can't change anything. How did Pastor Dave say that? He said, you won't change anything that you're willing to excuse. Right? If I have an excuse for it, and I'll excuse it, then I'm not willing to change it. Don't excuse those things the Holy Spirit is accusing. Right? Don't excuse those things, because, and He's not going to accuse me or accuse might be the wrong word. He's not going to convict me of the same things, possibly, that he's convicting you of. I know there's some people, they said, you know, the Lord talked to them about drinking coffee, and they're not drinking coffee anymore. Well, you know, God didn't talk to me about drinking coffee. Or if he has, maybe I haven't heard him yet. So I'm not at the same level of accountability there. So I can't tell you it's okay to drink coffee, and you can't tell me that it's not okay. Because we're being renewed in the spirit of our mind, so that we have to be able to think differently for ourselves and also think differently about other people. Because I don't have the right to judge something in you that God hasn't brought to be judged. That's your responsibility, is to bring your life before the Lord and allow him to judge those things and to put things in order and to renew your mind to the things of the Spirit that he has put within you, that power and that life that's inside of you. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 15. We're talking about walking in the fullness of God, putting aside human, or not even human, putting aside the old man's way of thinking, walking in the new life. Verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." So here in verse 17 he says, "Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." In the Amplified Bible it says this, "Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is." Again, this is spoken in the way of a command. He's telling you to be not unwise. He's telling you to have understanding. And the Bible never gives a command for something that we are unable to walk in. So this tells me that we cannot just vaguely have an idea of what the will of the Lord is, but we can firmly grasp it and have a great understanding of what God's will is. Now, you may not have every detail. You may not understand far into the future. But you can understand right now and firmly understand and firmly grasp what God's will is for you today. You can understand what God's will is for you right now. You know, there are people, there are married couples in the body of Christ today that are questioning whether or not it's God's will for them to be married. There are Christians in the world today questioning, that are not married, questioning whether or not it's God's will for them to live with their girlfriend or boyfriend. This shouldn't be so. These things are foolishness. These are things that think the way the Gentiles think. See, you have been born again. There is a truth on the inside of you. There is a life within you. There is an understanding inside of you that tells you what the will of God is. You don't need to wonder and walk around vaguely grasping, trying to find what God is saying. It's very clear what the will of God is for you. He wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you to be holy as he is holy. He wants you to walk after the things of the Spirit and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit. Now, here at this church, we've understood that for a long time, what it means to be Spirit-filled. And in most Pentecostal circles, you can talk to them about Spirit-filled. And that's a word that we've come to understand in our Christianese, that this is a Spirit-filled church. Means they speak with tongues. But oftentimes, that's about as far as we know to take it. You know, what does that mean? Oh, you're a Spirit-filled church. Okay, they believe in tongues. They believe in the Holy Ghost, that kind of thing. Wonderful. But here, Paul is telling us to be filled with the Spirit, and he goes on to give us a little bit on how to do that. Well, we know what it means, first of all. We know what it means to be filled. That we be baptized with the Holy Ghost, that we speak with other tongues, that we have the power of God available to us, within us, because you receive power when you receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. But here, he's not talking about a one-time experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, some people are like, well, you know, I was filled with the Holy Ghost back in 1969. Praise the Lord. Well, wonderful. That's good. But are you filled today? I'm glad you was filled a long time ago. I'm glad you were filled as a child. I'm glad you were filled in your youth. But are you filled today? And I may start rambling off in other tongues. That's good. But are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you filled with His power? Are you filled with His understanding? Are you filled with what His will is for your life today? You know, I can pray in tongues and beat up my brother at the same time. That doesn't mean I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, it might mean that I have been filled with the Holy Ghost. And it means that I know how to yield to the Holy Ghost, but in my actions and in the things that I'm doing at that moment does not indicate if an infilling of the Holy Ghost. So here it says, 18 again, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I don't think the emphasis is on drinking, but he is telling us there not to be doing that. But the emphasis is, or the comparison is, be filled with the Spirit. So a man that's drunk on wine or drunk on alcohol, again, the implication here is not a one-time experience. But there are people who live their life under the influence of alcohol, and they do it because, many times, because they can't bear to be sober. They can't bear to face life without that influence. And see, he's comparing the infilling of the Spirit, or being filled with the Spirit, to that type of lifestyle. Where I can't bear to go to Walmart without being filled with the Spirit for fear of how I may react to someone. Right? I want that kind of life where I want to be filled with the Spirit before I step outside, so that I know that my actions and the way that I react to someone else is going to be godly and not, you know, the old Hans coming out when you confront me. Some of the things he tells us here says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now you say, well, I thought I was supposed to speak with tongues if I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. You are. And you do. But see, if we're renewing our mind, when I speak with other tongues, my understanding is unfruitful. Now, in the Spirit, I'm being built up, being edified, and those tongues that I prayed out, they're going to be answered. But, you know, along with that, my attitude, my thoughts, the way that I act around other people, the way that I act around my family, the way that I act when I'm in private, I can be speaking to myself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, be making a melody in my heart to the Lord, because there's a joy, there's a grace, there's a peace, there's an anointing that resides on the inside of me. And if I allow that to bubble up, I can speak out of my inner being the things of God, so that I'm not overwhelmed by the situation that I'm in. Just like the drunkard can go to his wine and get rid of the problem for a moment, I can go to the Lord and the problem is dissolved in His presence. I don't have to worry about waking up with a hangover. I don't have to worry about coming back to reality. I can stay over there with Him and keep speaking to myself those psalms, those hymns, those spiritual songs. I can make a melody in my heart about the things that God has done for me. Hallelujah. You know, there's a phrase that used to come up out of me all the time, and it was from the old man. And it comes from a lack of confidence. And many times I'd find myself in a situation and it would just, my mind would say, I don't know what to do. And if I wasn't careful, I would be speaking that out. And usually I wasn't careful because I didn't really understand what was happening. And I would speak that out. I don't know what to do. And you know, when you start focusing on whatever it is that's in your mind, when you begin to speak those out, it gives life to it. It gives power to it. So here I am. Now, even if I could find the solution, if I'm focusing on, I don't know what to do, then my thoughts and my whole being is being distracted and going down this road of I don't know what to do. And one day, normally what happens is I would go through that for a time and then I'd have to say, okay, Lord, what do I do? You know, how do I get out of this? And He's always faithful to help us. But what I've learned to do and what I've tried to do, and sometimes I'm successful in it, is when that thought comes, I say, I know what to do. I know just what to do. And after a little while of doing that, this little tune would come up on the inside of me. I know what to do. I know just what to do. I'm going to do what the Lord says to do. I know what to do. I'll do what I do. I'll do what the Lord says to do. And so whenever that would happen, this is a spiritual song coming up on the inside of me. I'm singing a melody in my heart to the Lord. And it changes the way that I think. And my mind begins to be renewed to the truth that I do know what to do. Because within me, there is power within me. Everything that God is available unto me. And He has the answer every single time. If I can learn how to yield to that. A few weeks ago, I told you some of the situations that we were facing in our life, vehicles that were breaking down and all of these things happening. And you know, I kind of got into that mode. I probably did say at least once, I don't know what to do because I didn't know what to do. And that's where this message about authority came, is when, you know, the Lord started dealing with me and saying, you know, why are you allowing this? Why are you allowing these things in your life? And so I said, okay, I repent. And I was outside praying and just doing nothing really other than just praying and walking around in the yard. And I kept seeing myself going to my car. And there was a module in my vehicle that wasn't working right. And I kept seeing myself going over there and opening this panel where that module is. And I'm thinking, I don't want to do that. That's kind of a lot of work. I've already done that, you know, but it kept coming to me, So I said, okay. So I went over there and I pulled it open. And as it turned out, it wasn't even plugged in. It wasn't even plugged in properly. And so I made a phone call and talked to someone that knows how to do some of those things, made sure that I hooked it up properly. And when I plugged it all in, everything worked. So God's interested in helping you in every area of your life. So you know, for someone else, that might mean nothing. But to me, at that moment, it meant everything. It meant that my life could, there were things I could do that I couldn't do before. See, God's interested in every area of your life. He wants you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that when you function in this world, you're functioning under that anointing. You're functioning under the influence of that infilling of the Spirit. We don't have to separate our natural things and spiritual things. Because you really look at them and go, well, I mean, a car is not very spiritual, right? And fixing your car isn't very spiritual. Even having a car isn't very spiritual. And so you think, well, God doesn't care about that. But see, He does. Because He doesn't separate those things. I said before, Jesus walked in the Spirit all the time. Because Paul told us that if we walk after the flesh, we're walking in sin, and there's no way that he walked in sin. So when Jesus was building whatever it was that he built in carpentry with his Father, he was doing it in the Spirit. When Jesus was walking down the street, he was doing it in the Spirit. When he stopped to talk with the teachers and the rabbis, he was doing it in the Spirit. We don't have to separate our natural life and our spiritual life, but if we're renewed to the things of the Spirit, we can walk in that place at all times. When you're getting up in the morning, when you're getting dressed, you can have a melody in your heart. You can be thanking God for the day. You can be allowing those psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to rise up on the inside of you. And he said, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So being filled with the Spirit is more than just taking time to speak in other tongues. It's important. It's important because you're going to have to build yourself up. And we need that time praying in other tongues. I don't think I need to really convince you of that. Hopefully, by this time, you understand spending extended hours praying in other tongues will bring revelation to your life, and it will change you. But there can be a misunderstanding. You might come to the place where you say, well, all I got to do is pray in tongues, and everything will be okay. But see, we're praying in tongues for a reason. And when God begins to speak, you can't just say, well, I'm just going to go pray in tongues. You know, we're going to have to respond to what he's saying. He says, well, today I want you to go talk to your neighbor. And you're like, well, no, it's my prayer time. We'll do that another time. But that's not how it works. We're not praying in tongues to pass the time. We're not setting aside 4 hours and saying, okay, these hours I'm going to be praying in tongues. That is what we're doing, but it's not a formula and a rigid thing that we do just to pass the time. We're giving that time, sowing into the Spirit so that we can walk after the Spirit. So that when God says, hey, today I want you to stop, give that guy a ride, you do it. You know, it's not so that you'll go, oh, well, I would do it, but I'll be late to prayer, so prayer is more important. It's the most important thing in my life right now. Yes, it may be, but it's really not. The Holy Spirit is the most important thing in your life. See, what you need most is the Holy Ghost. And we have to remember that and keep that in perspective, because if we get so rigid in the things that we're doing, we could miss out on what God is saying. There's many people who get involved in ministry, and they're so caught up in ministry that they forget about who they're ministering for. And they lose that fellowship that they have with the Lord. See, praying in tongues isn't really fellowship. It's a preparation for fellowship. It's allowing the Holy Spirit a place in your life so that He can talk to you, so that He can lead you, so that He can guide you, so that He can turn on a light and shine things in your life and say, this needs to be dealt with over here, and this needs to be dealt with over there. And He can get into the little nooks and crannies so that you can see it and get it out of your life. It's not so that you spend time and pass the day praying in other tongues. It's so that there's a change produced in your life. Hallelujah. And we continue to walk in all things after the Spirit. All right, let's go to Ephesians 6. So remember, you're being renewed, the spirit of your mind. Part of that is being filled with the Spirit so that you're not combating the fleshly mindset with your flesh. Because see, there's a lot of people, you tell them these things need to change. You can discipline yourself to change those things, but they haven't been mortified, so they haven't really been dealt with properly. And all you did was change from one formula to another formula. But when you do it in the Spirit, then we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to not only change, but to destroy the root and to fundamentally change our thinking from the nature of the flesh to the nature of the Spirit, so that the new nature that's in us becomes the way that we think. Because the truth is, that's who you are anyway, is your nature. That's the nature that's in you. That's what wants to function in your life. And when we renew our mind to that, then the new nature gets to function. The inner man gets to function. Really, our outer man is supposed to be here to serve our inner man. It's the way that I get around on the earth. It's the way that I'm able to be here today. But really, it's my inner man that wants to preach to you. It's my inner man that wants to deliver what God has for you. And I need my outer man to do that. Got to have my vocal cords. I got to have my being and all of those things. And so I have to renew my mind to say, the inner man is in charge, not the outer man. And that's really the struggle we go through. And if we don't do it in the spirit, we can become frustrated. We become just another novel idea, another good thing to practice. But no, we're talking about actually changing to where no longer are we doing things to serve God, but God is doing things through us to serve others. Hallelujah. All right, Ephesians 6. Verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." He could have stopped right there. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, the nature, I'll say that another way, the old man wants to have power. The old man wants to be in charge of my life. But we've talked about that. We're to put off the old man and put on the new man. The new man wants to stand in the power of the Lord. This is why we're renewing our minds. This is why we're being filled with the Spirit, so that we are able to stand in the power and the might of the Lord, so that we're able to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we're standing in the power of the Lord, and we're standing against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. So we want to be able to stand strong in the Lord. And he says, having done everything, then he ends that with, after you've done everything else. Not everything else. After you've done everything that you know to do, according to the Word of God, according to what's in you, according to that new nature, according to the inner being, what do you do now? He says, you stand. We stand in the power and in the strength of the Lord. We don't stand in our own strength. We don't stand in our own might. We don't go back to our understanding. So this is what happens many times. So I have a problem. I've prayed about it. I've sought the Lord. He hasn't really told me anything. So now I go to Google and I say, what does this mean? And I go to my friend over here and I say, how could I fix this? And I go to this person that's an expert and I say, what could you do for me? But that isn't what the Bible tells us to do. He says, after you've done everything, you stand. I'm standing that God is coming through. There is no plan B. What I'm saying is, when God has given you a promise, when God has told you to accomplish something, when God has put something in your heart, when God has given you a vision, rather than going to everyone else to see how to figure it out because you can't do it, you're better off standing in His promise, standing on the Word of God, standing and saying, listen, I am covered with the armor of God. I'm standing in what He has given me. And what I am going to use is I'm going to use the sword of the Spirit to get through this situation. He says here, let me get this right before I quote it. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I've heard several people say, well, you know, this is my sword. And that's fine. That's great. Because it says, the Bible does tell us that the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. But this is saying the sword of the Spirit. You know, there's a lot of people that know what the Bible says. There are atheists that can quote this Bible better than I can. There are people of other denominations, when I say other denominations, other religions other than Christianity, that know and understand what the Bible says. But they don't have the sword of the Spirit. They might have the sword of their understanding. They might have something that they think that they know. But if they don't have the Holy Spirit within them, they don't really have an offensive weapon that they can use that's wielded properly by the Spirit within you. See, your spirit is able, with your spiritual understanding and your spiritual mind, you're able to comprehend these things, because the Bible says this, that the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. The carnal man cannot know them. So you can have great understanding, you can have the information that's in the Word of God, but if you're not born again and you don't allow the Spirit to teach you, then you don't really have the weapon, the sword of the Spirit. So when we're standing against the wiles of the enemy, because when God has given you an assignment, or He's given you a dream, or He's given you a vision, or He's given you an instruction, there's going to be wiles of the enemy that are coming, that will come against you. Whenever I hear that word, I think of Wile E. Coyote. And an old cartoon character who was always trying to outwit the Roadrunner. See, and that's the enemy. He's always running around trying to come up with the next idea. But when we follow after the Spirit, we're just like the Roadrunner. We can go zip past all of his tricks and they end up backfiring on him. Why? Because we have the sword of the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God teaching us, leading us, taking us down a path, because we've been willing to stand. Say, no, I'm not gonna sit down. I'm not gonna give up. I'm not going to find another direction. I'm not gonna look for a different path. I'm not gonna try to find, understanding another way. I'm gonna stand and I'm gonna use the sword of the Spirit that's been given to me. And I'm gonna say, Father, what is there something that I'm missing that I need in my life so that I can get through this situation? How can you help me stand? Because Holy Spirit, you're my helper. You're with me. You know what I'm going to do today? Lord, I'm going to speak to myself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I'm going to confess the Word of God over my life. I'm going to say, Lord, you're my provider. You're going to get me through this situation. Lord, I know what to do. I know just what to do. And I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to follow you. You are good to me, and the outcome that I have is victory. Lord, I thank you that you've already done it for me. Father, I thank you that Tulsa's in revival, that Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. I'm no longer looking at what's happening around about me, but I'm turning to the inside, and I'm saying what you say, Father. I'm saying what you have for me. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to teach me. And you continue walking in that way. Then you're being filled with the Spirit. And your mind and your attitude and everything about you begins to change. The fruit of the Spirit becomes evident in your life. And this energy comes from knowing that He is God. And He is my Father. And the Holy Spirit is my helper. And there's nothing that can come against me that He can't see me through. Amen. So whatever wiles the enemy brings, we have an offensive weapon. You have within you a power. You have within you the authority to break the power of the enemy that's coming against you. You have within you the ability to trust in a God that cannot lie, to trust in a God that never fails, to trust in the one who created the universe and understand that He's your Father. And the thing is, if we're not able to stand in all of those areas, the awesome part about God is He has given us grace. And we've been born again by His grace. And He teaches us by His grace. And He'll lead us by His grace. So even if I don't fully know how to stand in the power of God, I have the Holy Spirit in me. And He's a helper. And all I have to do is humble myself and say, Holy Ghost, I need your help today. I don't know how to get through this on my own, but I know that you're my teacher. Help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. And I can open the Word of God and He'll teach me. You might say, well, I don't know where to go. Just begin somewhere. The Bible is all good. And the Holy Spirit will lead you to those passages and those places that are going to illuminate and light your steps for your situation. I understand that there's no book of Hans in the Bible to know exactly what I'm going to do this day. But there is an answer to my situation in the Bible. There is a principle. There is a direction. There is a truth in the Word of God. So that's why it's so important. I love prophecy. We have an abundance of prophecy in this church. The Lord's used me a lot in prophecy. I love it. It's kind of in my DNA. It's a part of who I am. And yet, I'm not led by prophecy. I thank God for it. This is my perspective on prophecy in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the prophet was God's word. I mean, it was the only word that they were receiving, and they had to have that prophet to speak God's mind into their life. But see, today, God speaks through His Son. He speaks through Jesus Christ. Jesus in you is talking to you every single day. So you have the leadership of the Holy Ghost in you. You don't need a prophet to tell you what to do. Prophecy comes. Sometimes prophecy will bring direction. Sometimes it does. There'll be a direction that God has, but we're not really led by that prophecy. It confirms a direction that we were already going, or it gives light to a direction that we were already heading. And it lines up with the truth and the principles that are in the Word of God. The prophecy is important. Really, what Paul said is it brings edification, exhortation, and comfort. And so we receive from the prophecies that are given. And many times, as Alan pointed out, just because we don't say, thus saith the Lord, it doesn't mean we're not prophesying. Many times, we're giving prophecy from this pulpit because it's the mind of God for that season or that meeting or that time or that group of people. And see, prophecy in the New Testament, although it could bring correction, it could bring, and sometimes it foretells things. So there's a foretelling and a forthtelling in prophecy. But all of it, the number one way, in my opinion, the number one way that we judge prophecy is with the Word of God. So it must line up with God's Word. Now, if you're going to be bold enough to foretell, which that's probably my least favorite way to operate because it can be rather scary. I've been on the receiving end of that a few times, more times than I want to even think about it. Many times it's just nonsense, right? It sounds good because usually when you're foretelling, you want to tell people good things, right? Oh, brother, there's a check coming to you, man, I can't believe the number of zeros that are on that check. Wow, you're going to be blessed, brother. It's awesome. Now, he's not giving it to you, but, you know, it's coming. And so, you know, those kinds of things I'm very leery of. But see, here's the problem that we have. I don't know why I'm getting into this, but just for a minute. The problem is just because there's something that's false, we don't want to discredit the truth. Okay? I remember in 2001 when we had the attack on the World Trade Center. Pastor Dave stood at this pulpit or at the front of this church. And I remember that that day was on a Tuesday that the attacks happened. This was the Sunday before. And I don't remember exactly what he said. But he said he was alerted in his spirit. And he said, watch the news this week. You'll see there's something coming. Now that was a foretelling, and it was true. We saw it. And so we don't want to discredit the true because of the flaky, because of the false. And also, I don't believe that the people that have said things to me that didn't come to pass, that doesn't make them a false prophet. It just means they were wrong. It means that they weren't yielding at that moment to what the Spirit was saying. They were trying to figure things out with their own understanding and trying to give you what they thought was going to be a good feeling for you. And it made them feel good because they said something good about you and what might be coming. But you see, that's all fleshly stuff. But in the spirit, if a person prophesies about the foretelling things to come, for me especially, that's a very accountable thing where that's not something I want to run around doing. You know, I think Alan said he doesn't do marriages and he doesn't do births or something like that with prophecy. I mean, I don't mean he doesn't bury people. I mean, he's not going to say you need to bury this one and you know, those kinds of things. Because that's putting yourself in someone's life where you are not God. Prophecy is not designed for you to get a direction from another person. We don't get to stand off to the side and say, okay, God, talk to the preacher and tell him to what you want to say. No, see, God wants you to go before him and he wants to talk to you. Now, he may confirm, he might bring comfort, he might bring some teaching, but the real direction comes from the Holy Ghost. And anytime, anyone, whether it's myself or someone else from this pulpit or someone somewhere else in the world speaks to you on behalf of God, first of all, it needs to bear witness with your spirit. You know, if it's not something that God's already told you or it doesn't sound like God, I wouldn't even give it a second thought. If they say, put it on a shelf, I wouldn't even put it on a shelf. Listen, if that doesn't agree, well, you have the Holy Ghost in you. You have the power of God within you. I realize we can get off and we can get away and God can send a prophet to direct us. But when he does, there's a convicting power of the Holy Ghost that comes with it. When Nathan went to David, David knew that he had messed up. He didn't question, could this possibly be God? He knew what he had done. And so, I guess I'm saying this today in a little bit of a caution because I know that there's many people running around out there that are calling themselves prophets. I've seen them on the TV. Some of them I never heard of before, but somehow they get airtime on television. And one of the last thing, in my opinion, the last thing that we use to judge prophecy is when someone says, this is going to happen. Well, if it doesn't happen, I'm sorry, you were wrong. You know, they'll come up with excuses that, well, there was this person that didn't do what they were supposed to do and that didn't. You think God didn't know that? You think he didn't know that ahead of time? You know, what if nothing happened the week that they said, watch the news, what's he going to say? Well, I guess, you know, it was going to happen, but there were some things that deterred it. Your prayers, that's what it was. You prayed enough, and so then nothing bad happened and everything was good. No, when people are, if you're bold enough to foretell something, then you need to be bold enough to stand behind it. And you're going to have to be bold enough to repent when you're wrong. And if they're not willing to do that, then in my book, they're not a reliable source for the prophecy. And so I'm not sure where I'm going there, but I want to encourage you. Yield to the Spirit of God. Tim has explained to us several times how the prophecies that come from this place are judged. It's not just one man's opinion. It's not something that one person heard from God, but there are many eyes that look on this and judge this and we're trying to protect the people and that you receive what the Lord is saying, not just what Hans has to say, not just what Alan has to say, but you're receiving from the Lord. So with that, I encourage you.
Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit this week. Leave here speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Make a melody in your heart to the Lord. See, we are a happy people. We're a thankful people. And when we express that, and when it comes forth from our inner being, it's a natural thing. It's not something you have to make up. It's not something you have to try to be, but it's who you really are. So allow your inner man to have precedence over your outer man today and this week and in all of your life. Amen. So Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this message today. Holy Spirit, we're trusting in you and we're asking you, help us to walk in the fullness of your Spirit. Help us to allow you to do your work through us. And Father, for all that you've done here today, all you're getting ready to do, what you're preparing for the next service, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you in about 30 minutes, 10 o'clock.